I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Oh my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The one and only
Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Brian Weber.
I mean, honestly, he's right. Brilliant.
Brian Weber.
I've got a long resume. Google me. It saves time.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Brian Weber.
That was such a deep cut from back in the day. I'm surprised I didn't say Netscape instead of Google. Happy holidays, everybody. Brian Weber with you. Always a blast to sit in for Rich and the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you are still at work just past noon Eastern on Christmas Eve, you have my permission to mail it in. A little known FCC bylaw. As a guest host, I have that authority, so stick it to the man, and I'll keep you entertained. If you're out and about, drive safely, and hopefully I won't say anything too thermonuclear to distract you. We move quickly when I'm in the chair because I want to maximize the opportunity, but I'll always carve out time for your interaction. Phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN. Your best bet whenever I am lucky enough to try to support Rich's outstanding brand is to have at it on social media. You can hit me up on the X platform. It is BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I spelled the last name because I don't have grill money. We're going to jump right in talking NFL. Have you looked at the schedule? Not your job. Even as a fill-in hack, that's my responsibility. Here's a preview. Although we're supersizing things now with three games, just like Thanksgiving, so you have no reason to talk to your family at all. The games are mid, as you kids say. And undeniably, and I'm now risking not being allowed to come back for segment number two, the NBA has a better slate of games. And I keep zigging when the world is zagging. I understand the NFL is the only thing that matters to many of you, but for those of us who are older than 17 years old, Christmas, as LeBron said last year, before he recently said he didn't want to play on Christmas, I'm paraphrasing, he'd rather be at home, Christmas used to belong to the NBA. So, coming off the second victory put together by the Spurs over the OKC Thunder in the span of 11 days, we'll get you set for the rematch coming up tomorrow in OKC in 20 minutes. We'll get into the particulars of another winning formula for the young Spurs. Do they have some kind of cheat code when it comes to the reigning champs? And because I want to make sure your opinions can be expressed, and I have a lot to pass along, I'm never going to bury you with guests. Just two in our 3 hours together today, coming up in hour number two, 1:20 Eastern, in advance of the NBA on Christmas Day. Of course, ESPN, ABC, and here, ESPN Radio has coverage as well. Looking forward to checking in with Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com. Final hour, 2:20 Eastern. I'm giving you the time because this should be appointment audio. Going to check in with an old friend, broadcast partner of mine, more important, a Hall of Famer, Eagles legend Eric Allen, now a member of the Raiders broadcast team. That is coming up. So, in terms of the details for tomorrow, and for some reason, maybe it's because we all get a bit nostalgic during the holidays. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich and the guys, 888-SAY-ESPN. I think that especially when, as a solo artist, as now I'm really patting myself on the back, when you work alone during the holidays, perhaps you get a little bit contemplative. So I was thinking about, because I've been doing this longer than my energetic delivery would suggest, there's a reason. If you follow me on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two B's, my picture is circa 2002 when I was a sideline reporter for the NFL on Fox, because that was arguably the peak of my career. But I was thinking about how I approach shows, even as recently as 15 years ago. I would hit the memory banks and think about what sports was like on Christmas Day. Folks, do you realize, prior to the ascension of the NBA, the biggest thing going on Christmas Day, as recently as the early 80s, which I realize is an eon ago, was something called the Blue-Gray Game, a college football all-star game played in front of about 17 fans in frigid Montgomery, Alabama. Now we have an embarrassment of riches, and you can't blame the NFL for how things played out, because theoretically, the schedule looked glamorous when it was put together, and I don't think it's a surprise, given the relationships between the league and their streaming partners, that there was a concerted effort to have marquee brands playing tomorrow to generate as much traction and get as many eyeballs as possible. That is the goal, after all. And the NBA has countered by maximizing their options. It's a full buffet with wall-to-wall basketball, five games, and I'm going to talk about that in detail in 15 minutes, jumping in with our takeaways from OKC and San Antonio last night. Also, there's one superstar who won't be playing tomorrow. Details coming up. So when the schedule came out, Dallas, Washington had potential, especially based on what the Commanders surprisingly did last year with the emergence of Jaden Daniels and that unlikely run all the way to the NFC Championship game. Even if the football gods didn't smile upon us the way things have played out, you figure Dallas and Washington at least has that traditional rivalry. That game is completely meaningless other than draft order. And unfortunately, the wave of injuries that brought Phillip Rivers into primetime television again the other night at the age of 44 has impacted this game. Josh Johnson, scheduled to be under center for Washington. Josh Johnson's been playing so long, he played for something called the Alliance of American Football, but I'm burying you with too much trivia. Let's keep going. Detroit has their playoff hopes on life support. And if you're thinking about injuries, and I'm not coming up with excuses, but it is part of the explanation, the Lions, for the second straight year, just battered with health concerns, especially on defense and in particular their secondary. But they got everything to play for at 8-7, taking on the Vikings, who have been mathematically eliminated. And unfortunately, we're looking at another backup, not only a backup, an undrafted rookie who started his college career at New Hampshire before going to Minnesota. And it's pronounced Brosmer. I don't have a huge issue for people saying Brosmer. Max Brosmer is in for J.J. McCarthy, out with a broken hand. And then we get to the nightcap. Denver versus Kansas City should have been a absolutely dynamic matchup. But, of course, everything has changed now in KC, and they're going to turn to their third-string quarterback after back-to-back torn ACL suffered by Patrick Mahomes and American hero Gardner Minshew. It is, and I have to say this slowly, all my years at Tennis Channel helped me work on things phonetically. Chris Oladokun. I always just pause on the Oladokun. Well, we're going to learn a lot more about him tomorrow night if you're still awake on the East Coast. But at least we have the Broncos to focus on, who suddenly looked a lot more human on Sunday against Jacksonville. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Assurance. Hop aboard at 888-SAY-ESPN or hit me up on social media, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. If we go back to Sunday, and we'll connect how things could align tomorrow to the last weekend that was filled with unpredictable outcomes across the NFL, and that's why it is king. It is the ultimate form of reality television. So I mentioned Washington with that unlikely run last year. It felt like every bounce went their way. I think similar things are happening this year in Chicago and Denver, because if you go back to the insanity of that Saturday night game, the latest comeback victory that the Bears were able to salvage somehow, some way, they now have 6 wins this year, trailing at the 2-minute warning. That's the most since the merger. And I've been going old school with these references. That's 1970. That tells you how much good fortune has been on the side of the Bears. And if you think about the sequence of events, they had, what, a 7 or 8% chance to scoop up that onside kick, as everything's changed now with the new gimmick for the kickoff return. But when you get that kind of heat and you're on a roll, these things happen. Plus, it doesn't matter what decade or what head coach we're talking about. The Packers, for whatever reason, just can't field onside kicks when it matters. So Washington a year ago, as they had a young team meet the moment, felt like they had good fortune on their side. I feel the same when I assess Chicago, but I have much more confidence in the Bears than I do the Broncos, who, remember, had all of those fantastic finishes and comeback wins. Think about what they had to do in Philadelphia to beat the reigning champs. And nobody was more dialed in than the Broncos when they had the 11-game winning streak snapped by the equally hot now Jacksonville Jaguars. My issue with Denver comes down to how much you can rely upon Bo Nix in a high leverage situation. I understand they have a much better defense than Chicago. That would be my concern for the Bears. And I'm not going to throw an avalanche of numbers your way. I assume you watch as much football as I do. You can see the Bears giving up way too many chunk plays. For example, Malik Willis came off the bench and looked very good. In fact, should have won that game. It's a credit to him. It's a credit to Matt LaFleur's scheme. And I think also another example of that Bears defense being way too leaky, which is a surprise, because think about all they invested on defense in free agency and the draft over the last few years, but that has not translated to production on the field. Still, they're getting bailed out by a extremely opportunistic Bears defense, and you go back to Saturday again, when they needed a turnover, they came up with it. For Denver, it's the identity based on getting to the quarterback, which they did again. They terrorized Trevor Lawrence, sacked him 5 times, but it didn't matter because he is playing at such a ridiculously high level now, which I think is another byproduct of excellent coaching. If we're going to discuss the foundation of what's happening at Chicago, so much of it contingent on the hire of Ben Johnson, go back to these dominoes falling. Ben Johnson said no to Washington. Now, you can't rip Dan Quinn hire in any way, although we all have short memories, and I know folks in the District of Columbia are groaning with the 4-win season. A lot of that due to injuries, of course, when Daniels suffered a variety of bumps and bruises. Johnson winds up in Chicago. Bit of a tepid start. Everything's changed. And I believe in the Bears, and we're going to learn a lot more about them in a glamour matchup on Sunday Night Football as they head to the San Francisco Bay Area to take on the 49ers, who somehow, some way, still control their path to being not only the division winners in the rugged NFC West, but also the top seed in that conference. As for the compare and contrast I'm trying to do between Chicago and Denver, my biggest issue for Denver right now is, what can you realistically expect from Bo Nix? Understanding that I can't be a prisoner of the moment, because if you just think back the week before, he was locked in. He was sensational. 4 touchdown passes against the Packer defense that, yes, Micah Parsons went down in during the game with a torn ACL, but Green Bay has been playing excellent defense all season long. So we're not going to have firmer takeaways when I'm back with you on the day after Christmas on Friday, because Kansas City has absolutely nothing to play for. And even when they were making their playoff push, their defense was not as consistent, not as stout as it was last year on their latest run to the Super Bowl before they got annihilated by Philadelphia. So put it all together. Yes, we will all watch. Yes, There's a lot on the line for Detroit. Denver still trying to push forward to be the top seed in the AFC, but Santa did not give us a gift in terms of how these matchups played out. Still, we know we'll be watching because the NFL is a behemoth that crushes everything in its path, and we're addicted to football. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. You can be a part of the show, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also have at it on social media, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs on the X platform. I mentioned, because somehow now I'm a hoop head, 5 NBA games tomorrow across the ESPN family of networks and here on ESPN Radio. We have coverage as well. We saw again last night the Spurs figuring out a way to beat OKC. What makes them such a tough matchup? Plus, one thing will be missing tomorrow on Christmas. Where's Giannis? All that and more coming up, just getting warmed up on a special Christmas Eve edition of the program. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio.
Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. This season, make your home feel alive with Sonos speakers. From cinematic sound that pulls you into every holiday movie, to game day audio that puts you right in the middle of the action, Sonos makes it effortless to fill your home with incredible ambiance. Stream everything you love, music, movies, or your favorite sports podcast, all in one place. Sonos' holiday sale is on now through December 28th, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we know that during the holiday season, every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Brian Weber with you. Always a blast to fill in for Mr. Eisen and the fellas. 888-SAY-ESPN. Social media is an option as well. I don't think it's a fad at this stage. You can access my account. Don't hack me, but we can have a conversation. Should be pretty clear. I have no life. So after the program, hit me up. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They make the claims process easy, so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com. Coming up in just over 20 minutes, we'll get back to the NFL. Nothing says the holidays like who's getting fired across the National Football League. Plus, since I was demonstrating my man crush on Ben Johnson, we'll try to look around and find some potential hot coordinators out there. We're not going GQ, but who's got a little bit of momentum to make the next step in their career? Who's ready to jump from coordinator to try to coach up a young quarterback like we've seen in Chicago? And maybe this is my geographic bias as I come to you from our Regal Studios in Los Angeles. Thanks once more to our friends at ESPN LA 710 here in downtown Los Angeles for their hospitality. I saw a ton of Caleb Williams in college, as did you, because USC and Oklahoma are on TV all the time. I'm not surprised he's playing at this level. It just took somebody to help him on the path to being a pro and putting him in the position to succeed after that coaching malpractice last year with Matt Eberflus and the rest of the flotsam and jetsam at Hallis Hall. What Cohen is doing, Liam Cohen is doing with Trevor Lawrence, I think is just remarkable. We'll get back to that coming up in 20 minutes. I mentioned my goal is to keep the program on the fairway. I once had a program director tell me, as a veteran of filling in during the holidays, just keep the show out of the ditches. So I want you to focus on the road if you're out there, because I realize holiday traffic is a thing, especially here on the West Coast. I've had the good fortune to live in California since I was 17 years old. Rain is not our thing. And suddenly in the last handful of years, atmospheric rivers became part of the mix. Maybe it had something to do with the comeback of Philip Rivers as I strained for a connection there. But if you are on the road right now, anywhere west of, say, Montana, please drive carefully and I'll do my best to keep you entertained. I hope when I said I appreciate basketball more than football, I didn't get you to think, wait a minute, what is this guy doing? And you reach over to hit that button, get away from ESPN Radio. I'm just being transparent. Now, look, I'm not completely inane, and I am a professional broadcaster. I have to pay the rent for my studio apartment. The NFL pays the bills for all of us, but aesthetically, I prefer basketball as a sport over football. I just think there's more creativity, more athletic ability, and I'm old, and Christmas Day used to belong to the NBA, but the NFL can hijack anything they want. Why haven't they gone after New Year's Day yet? Maybe we'll talk about that coming up on Friday. So, if you are a casual NBA fan, a lot of you pay no attention until tomorrow because Christmas Day is the traditional unofficial start to the season. And I know a lot of you will not watch 1 minute of basketball or listen here on ESPN Radio until the NFL is done. Maybe you care about the All-Star game, as gimmicky as that is. So I'm not going to give you NBA 101, but even if you pay very little attention to what happens on the hardwood, you probably are aware OKC is building a dynasty, in my estimation, knowing that we saw, what, seven different champions over the span of 7 years before the Thunder were able to wrap up that title last year. And I am well aware that they went seven games with the Nuggets. They went seven games in the NBA Finals with the Pacers after Tyrese Halliburton went down in that game. In fact, they trailed in the third quarter, so I'm not crowning anybody, but you'd have to be a fool not to appreciate what's going on in Oklahoma City, all of the young talent, and all of the draft capital they have for years to come, because Sam Presti is arguably the most skilled GM in all of sports. And even if you really do not appreciate hoops at this time of the year, as you're watching SportsCenter, you probably saw on a nightly basis, the Thunder just refused to lose. Red hot from the outset. And remember, for the majority of the first portion of the season, they did it without their second best player, Jalen Williams. So we had all the conversations about OKC. Can they make a run at 75 wins? They wouldn't even need to get to 75 to set the record. Would they have one more victory than the Warriors did in 2016, but lost in Game 7 to LeBron and Kyrie in the NBA Finals? And now suddenly, and this is an overstatement, but that's what we do when you're a guest host. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Over the span of the last 11 days, the mighty Thunder have lost three times. Now, they're still 26-4. And in fact, I looked it up this morning. They're on pace, our favorite term in sports, on pace still to make a run at 72 or 73 wins, puts them right in vicinity for a record-setting season, if that's a priority. Two of those three losses, in addition to falling to the surging T-Wolves, so we'll see, play the Nuggets in the fifth of five games tomorrow on the ESPN family of networks. Lost to Timberwolves on Friday. The other two losses coming to the Spurs in the NBA Cup and again last night. Now, in fairness, the Thunder were playing the second game of a back-to-back. Still, they got hammered by 20. Watched bits and pieces of that game. Felt like they made a business decision down the stretch, knowing they will see San Antonio tomorrow at home. But as you think about how these teams match up, I'm going to go through some reasons to validate that the Spurs now should be bumped up to that same tier that I think is led by Denver, followed by Houston. But now it's three teams who I think can actually challenge the Thunder and potentially stop them from building a dynasty. After the Spurs win, Wemby weighed in on what makes this matchup with OKC so intense.
Arena is packed. Energy is different. Physicality from the first to the 48th minute is up there. Hard to describe, but you know, it's like when PSG plays Marseille in France. You know, this is a real rivalry. But it's as I said, it's something that's built on years and years. You know, it's not something you can just make up like this. That doesn't take away that it's a good matchup, but it takes a lot.
Now, do I have to do a Champions League breakdown to try to translate what Victor said there? I am a sports nerd. I do appreciate soccer. Now I got to read my resume. You know, when I was doing West Coast soccer and the run to the College Cup, that was a tough analogy, but the point was, just like premier teams on the European continent who play at the very top of the table, as we say on the pitch, Wemby thinks that, and this is human nature, when you're playing the defending champs, it brings out the best in a young Spurs team. You got to admire San Antonio's ability to rebuild again, and they've done it quickly. Now it helps when the metaphoric ping pong balls bounce their way, and they got the rights to Wemby, but they've been aggressive when it comes to the trade market. And it's interesting, as you do this for a while, you forget that people start in the league at 21. In my mind, De'Aaron Fox is still relatively young. Now, he's half my age at 28, but if we're just going to focus on that young core, it's Wemby. It's the reigning Rookie of the Year in Stephon Castle. And Dylan Harper is validating why he was the second overall pick, Ron's son, after he was one and done at Rutgers, even though that team didn't even make the NCAA tournament with Dylan and Ace Bailey. So a ton to like about San Antonio. And what we're going to see on display tomorrow when these teams meet again is, it's the length of Wemby. And again, I don't want to be a prisoner of the past, but the way the sport has developed, how often do you see two legitimate seven-footers at least having the possibility of leaning on each other? But we fully know that Wemby's a unicorn, so he can take it out to 19 or 25 feet and knock it down. And Chet Holmgren is not your prototypical old school big man banging away in the paint. In fact, that was my frustration with him during that run to the title last year. How many layups did Chet miss from point blank range being over 7 feet tall? Now, that's easy for me to say from the comfort of my couch. Do I think the Spurs are ready to win now? No. And especially, we know in basketball, there's a learning curve. You got to build up your scar tissue when you get to the postseason, like the Thunder did on their way to winning it all last year. Because if you go back a couple years ago, they were the top seed in the West, weren't able to break through and make the finals. But the sport is better when you have a super team and then other premier clubs chasing them. And my only concern, when we saw OKC just rolling through and obliterating, on a big word, Wednesday edition of the program, all the competition, I just thought it was going to be a boat race. As somebody who enjoys watching the NBA on a nightly basis, I want competition to be real. I want compelling matchups. We've got Denver out there. I mentioned it took a Game 7 scenario last year for the Thunder to survive in advance. Houston, who we'll see taking on the Lakers tomorrow. If you go back to last year, they were the 2 seed, although that's been overlooked because they were one and done as they got stomped by the Warriors. And now, with the addition of Kevin Durant, you have a legitimate, reliable go-to scorer, especially from the perimeter, to coalesce with all that young talent. And now put the Spurs in the mix as well. And I haven't even gone all the way down the list. We don't talk about Minnesota that much. Maybe it's because where they're situated, that's ridiculous. Not 1954. We're not taking trains to games anymore, but quality win last night for the T-Wolves with the asterisk. No Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. Hopefully Jalen will give it a go. He is such a primetime player. I'd be surprised, unless the doctors told him don't go out there, if he's not on the floor tomorrow against the Cavs. So all of these games, even if you don't have a strong connection to hoops, have something that stands out. Cleveland, as we'll discuss coming up in the next hour of the program with Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com, has underachieved, but here's a team with the same core of talent that last year had 64 wins and had the best record in the regular season in the East, taking on the Knicks, so there's a lot to like about that matchup. I just went through in granular detail all of the details of the Spurs and the Thunder. Mavs at Warriors, well, because Draymond Green is a content machine, not only with his podcast, but with his ludicrous actions when it comes to officials and losing his emotional control and now sparring with his head coach, as was the case the other night. That'll be a subplot to the matchup between Golden State and Dallas. Cooper Flagg was spectacular last night. We'll see him across the ESPN family of networks tomorrow And you got the Lakers and the Rockets. Hopefully, we see Luka Doncic come back from his leg injury. And I mentioned T-Wolves and Nuggets. Those are all appealing matchups. One team and one superstar we will not see. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, I think some of that came down to a tactical decision made by the NBA. After all, as I mentioned, this is show business, and the business is more important than the show. Sports is entertainment, after all. NBA now, especially with the massive challenge of going head-to-head with the NFL, stacked that lineup as attractively as they could. In fact, since I was working Christmas Day last year, it was surprising to me that the Thunder didn't get a Christmas slot, even though they had been the one seed in the West the year prior. But I think that was a ratings-driven decision, and the NBA was concerned that, quote-unquote, small market OKC wouldn't draw. In terms of Giannis, wherever you come out on him being passive-aggressive, that clearly he wants to play for a championship-contending team and get another ring, as any ambitious superstar would. Remember, he's not officially gone public with a trade request or demand. But everything leaks for a reason. So all of the constant drip, drip, drip of rumor, innuendo, and speculation that he wants out points to, ultimately, an exit happening. I'll just steal from people like Brian Windhorst, who does such a great job as an ESPN NBA insider, who's well-sourced, who's not over the top. The consensus from the people that I'm following and listening to is that there's nothing imminent, and they would be surprised if Giannis does get moved prior to the trade deadline. But it certainly, I think, is telling that the NBA, when they put together this schedule, knew that the Bucks would be so mediocre, they were not willing to run the risk of putting them on the Christmas schedule. Still, as you watch the pregame shows and countdown, both on ESPN Radio and ESPN and ABC, I'm sure when they get to Shams, one of the topics will be, what does the future of Giannis look like? And if you've been just following how the story has progressed, you hear about the Knicks, you hear about the Heat, you hear about the Warriors. The Spurs were in contention for a while, it seemed, but especially, and again, I don't want to fall victim to recency bias, but the way they play against the Thunder and their overall resume, I think management is very content with that young nucleus. And why break it up, or why give up more trade flexibility in the future with their picks and their complementary players to, quote unquote, go all in for Giannis right now? And let's also be fair, Giannis has been dealing with injuries. But ultimately, give me a superstar in this league who has wanted out and did not get that wish fulfilled. And we've seen it time and time again, and most recently, Jimmy Butler forcing his way out of Miami, going to the Golden State Warriors. So I don't get the sense this is something that's going to happen immediately. And as I mentioned, I'm just borrowing from people I respect. It doesn't seem like there's any real traction for this deal to get done before the deadline. If you're a Knicks fan, obviously, the notion of Giannis playing at the Garden is tantalizing, but I guess I would counter with this. Who are you willing to give up? Now, here's the real problem. You got to make the trade work. And he makes over $50 million, and the Knicks have no assets, really, when it comes to future picks. Now, it just takes the right person with the right creative mind to come up with the way of pulling it off. And it seems like, well, just think about last year when we were talking about what are the Bucks going to do to appease Giannis? All of the machinations, that's a very big word, all of the creative accounting the Bucks had to do, and the willingness to absorb a lot of money to part ways with Damian Lillard to get Miles Turner. Okay, what did that get him? They beat the awful Pacers last night, and they're three games under 500. So I just don't see the Knicks making that move, and I don't think they need to, especially this year in the East, which has never been more down. And I'm not taking anything away from Cade Cunningham and the Pistons, but you don't have Halliburton. You don't have Jason Tatum, although maybe he is trending towards a quick recovery from his Achilles and could be viable in the postseason. And credit the resolve of Boston. They've not gone away. And all the people who think that Jaylen Brown is the best player on that roster are feeling good about that perspective right now. But I just don't see the Knicks having what it takes, nor the institutional willingness to pull the trigger on that kind of blockbuster move right now. And candidly, I don't think they need it. I would be very surprised. And look, I've tried to mask my East Coast accent. I grew up a Knicks fan. I used to go to MSG when you could actually pay for tickets. I'm a recovering Knicks fan. I think this is the year they make their first run to the finals since 1999. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. You can pick up the phone, 888-SAY-ESPN. You can hit me up on social media, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. NFL is going to dominate the rest of the way, other than just a little bit more NBA when we check in with Kurt Heelan of NBCSports.com. That's coming up in the next hour, 1:20 Eastern time. As promised, we get back to the football up next as we get closer to the end of the NFL regular season. Which head coaches should be looking over their shoulders, and who could be the next Ben Johnson or Liam Cohn if they get the opportunity? I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. We continue. It's Christmas Eve live on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio.
When the holidays start to feel a bit repetitive, reach for a Sprite Winter Spiced Cranberry and put your twist on tradition. A bold cranberry and winter spice flavor fusion, Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry is a refreshing way to shake things up this sipping season. And only for a limited time. Sprite, obey your thirst.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen and the fellas, enjoying a well-deserved break. They are back with you live on Monday. Of course, the simulcast, ESPN app, Disney Plus. I'm back in the chair on Friday. Looking forward to that. But we have a lot more business to attend to today. Coming up, we'll get into who should be mindful of getting a pink slip coming up when we get to Black Monday in the NFL. As we ease into the next hour of the program, we're going to talk fallout from the Pro Bowl selections. And no, I don't care about the Pro Bowl. The players don't care about the Pro Bowl, nor should you, but we'll use that as a catalyst to have some MVP conversation and start previewing the games that truly matter. I understand that we should all be mindful of the calendar and the three games coming up tomorrow, but as I mentioned at the start of the program, things were trending this way in Washington, and now it's official. Josh Johnson. Now, if I was more of a hack than I am, I would go through every team he has played for. And that would take hour number two of the program down to the third string quarterback for the Commanders, because Marcus Mariota's out with that hand injury he suffered Saturday in the loss to the Eagles, taking on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, who have nothing to play for other than padding their offensive stats. And Dak among those Pro Bowl honorees we'll be talking about coming up in less than 15 minutes. Coaches and quarterbacks, that is the most important relationship now in all of sports. And I've been throwing a lot of love the direction of both Ben Johnson and Liam Cohn. Why not? The results tell you all you need to know about how instrumental they've been in the respective success of Caleb Williams and the transformation of Trevor Lawrence. Didn't work out that way in Miami. Mike McDaniel got that job with the Dolphins because he was part of the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, and he was hired specifically to coach up Tua Tagovailoa. It did not work out. So, with speculation about coaches and their futures and their job security, coupled with quarterbacks that could be on the move, let's hear from ESPN lead NFL insider Adam Schefter and his expectations for both Tua and Mike McDaniel next season.
Well, I think they have to keep Tua contractually. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. They're kind of married to him for next year. But I do think that whether you start looking this offseason or you delay it a year, you start looking for that next quarterback. Because after next year, I think the guarantee money on his contract is up. So I expect him to get one more year in Miami. I think Mike McDaniel has given himself a chance to be back next year, despite the fact that they lost last night. The team has played well in the second half. We'll see how they finish up here in the final 3 weeks. I'm sure that will have some influence over the final decision, but they're going to go out and hire a new general manager, and the new general manager will have his own ideas about how to proceed. But I do think that contractually it's difficult to extricate yourself from the Tua contract for the 2026 season.
I'm glad to hear that from the best in the industry, because since I've been like a carnival barker pushing my social media handle, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich. Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can follow me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. About a week and a half ago, when it was looking like and Mike McDaniel was foreshadowing the coaching change that he, rather the coaching decision that he made for the quarterbacking change, going with Quinn Ewers. How did he look Sunday in that beatdown as Cincinnati absolutely mauled Miami? I mentioned that I thought it was sort of a fake tough guy act by McDaniel, who I appreciate everything he does for our business because he's so quirky that he generates a lot of content. I mentioned, and I'm not a capologist, I just thought it would be unbelievably difficult for Miami to navigate that massive cap hit. Now, everybody's going to have the fallback default notion that, well, just look at what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. Okay, you can make it work. Secondly, though, that came down to ownership willingness to spend. And the Broncos have Walmart money. No need for a bake sale or a GoFundMe for the ownership group in Denver. I don't know the Miami owner, Stephen Ross, is going to be willing to write that check to tell Tua to say goodbye. So we will follow that heading into the offseason. Mike McDaniel, I think, has done enough to be safe, as Adam said, and go back to when they lost on a Thursday night to the Ravens the following day. Chris Greer was shown the door. I know my worst failures when it comes to clock management, so I'm going to pay off my forward promotion and give you a couple names to track before I rattle through the coaches who could get whacked on Black Monday coming up. If you have any connection to Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, you have a real possibility of getting a job, and that goes for Mike LaFleur as well, the brother of Matt, currently the offensive coordinator for the Rams. Of course, we know that Sean is the play caller. Tanner Engstrom, doesn't help that he is the offensive coordinator for the Jets. However, we could have now the growth of a Ben Johnson tree. He was the Lions passing game coordinator, work for Ben. Ben, of course, the play caller. But those are a couple names to track once we know all of the openings. Giants looking for a coach. Titans looking for a coach. I'll give you a name off the board. How about Todd Bowles? If the implosion of the Bucs continues, and remember he had that rant where he eviscerated his team not too long ago, that is a situation that we should be monitoring. Pete Carroll, obviously, two wins. And let's just say he's not that young anymore. Doesn't seem like he's got a long runway in Vegas. Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, dead man walking. Kevin Stefanski is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year and still could be fired. Now, it's not his fault that he was handed that collection of quarterbacks. That's on the front office, but somebody's got to be the fall guy. Aaron Glenn, according to reports, is safe with the Jets, and that comes down to just trying to have a semblance of continuity. You can't keep mowing through head coaches, although you can certainly make the case it's justified given the debacle that the Jets continue to be. And I think we're going to learn more about Raheem Morris, and that'll be one of the subplots heading into Monday Night Football. I know it seems like a long time from now, but the Rams have a ton to play for with all of the different combinations in their division. Atlanta sitting on 6-9, maybe. Raheem gets some wiggle room because Michael Penix Jr. went down with a knee injury, but he also made the decision to go with Michael, and that certainly has not worked out. Coming up, Pro Bowl is not important. MVP awards are. We're talking about that on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.